Amen. Praise and thanks. Also, I would like to greet all of you in the name of the Lord, and I wish us all God's blessing. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. Oh, how I have it so nice. Praise and thanks. Before we pray together, I would like to read us a word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10, from verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. A wonderful word. We can be grateful to God that we see and that we have heard that He revealed Himself to us, that we can recognize who the Father is, that we recognize who the Son is. Brothers and sisters, we are grateful with all our hearts. May He bless us this morning from the riches of His grace. He knows all of us who we are gathered here this morning, and also worldwide, where we are heard and where this meeting is seen. May the Lord come down by the Holy Spirit into our midst, and may He confirm the word which we will hear. We are grateful for the blessing last night, but today is a new day. Today the Lord can bless us anew from His riches, feeding us. Do we believe this? Praise and thanks. May He give it to us. Now we ask that Brother Schmidt comes and that he prays with us. Please, brother. Great God, in the reverence we are coming this hour to you, and we thank you, God of heaven. You said it yourself, blessed are your eyes, that they see those things and hear. We thank you that you have given us also the grace to see and to hear, to recognize your word of grace. We pray and we ask for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, give us all that we are not only hearers of thy word, but that we are doers of your word. Because, Lord of heaven, that's what you are looking for. and you will reward us, my God. We are, of course, not looking for a reward, but we are looking that you can confirm yourself in the midst of your people who are looking up to you. As already said, Lord Jesus, bless us here who we are gathered at this place, each one, great and little. Let your word not bypass us, but let your word penetrate into us. Engrave it into our hearts, onto the tablets of our hearts, for the glory of your name, but also everywhere where it is being seen and heard. And afterward, when the people will hear it and see it, the recordings, Lord, bless, reveal yourself, and give us all the grace, Lord. Give us a heart to receive, God of heaven, receiving for the glory of your name, receiving what you have to say to us. Please, anoint the lips through which you will speak. Anoint your word so that it penetrates. We thank you. We ask it in your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We remain standing. There is a child dedication. Then we ask the parents to come with their children to the front. We sing a chorus. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Time and again, we welcome all of you. We rejoice that God has given us the grace, the opportunity that we can still come together in peace. In the sermon of Brother Branham, the spoken word preached on the 18th of March, 1962, Brother Branham said, the time will come where the word cannot be preached anymore freely and openly. And this will be the time where God will do the extraordinary confirmation, and when he will give the climax of the latter rain to his elected flock. Then he says here on page 53 in the sermon, at that time of the latter rain, the Carmel hour will take place. And then the Bible is revealed. As then, we see it also now with John the Baptist and the message which was given at that time, according to Malachi 3, verse 1, so it is now also. And then he continues, and then he is led by the Spirit and declares how everything will reach its climax. Today, I would like to especially all the ministering brethren, all the brothers, who minister to the Lord in all the countries, I would like to greet them and welcoming them. And perhaps I ask that you stand up. All all brothers who in home cells or in local churches, please stand up so that we can welcome you in a special way. Here we have the brothers there. There we have brothers, which God blesses in a wonderful way, using them. Then we have one brother who asked to give us greetings. You may be seated. I say it openly now. If one calls one brother of many, then the many are sad because they were not called. I give you one example. All the emails, I counted them. Yesterday, it were about 70 emails. Today, there are exactly 80 emails I have here in my hand. But I cannot read all of them. I can just thank all who have written. I can really thank them with a sincere heart that they are joined with God, joined with us, joined with the proclamation which the Lord has given us in this last period of the time of grace. Also, this is really grace. And because our brother Miskis is translating today into the Portuguese language, therefore we ask our brother to give us the greetings in the French language and to sit down then. Just that he doesn't have to travel back with his greetings. Please give us the greetings now. And Brother Arben, if you like, you can translate him. No problem at all. And I say it once again, we welcome all of you. And Brother Gerlando from Palermo, he's here today for the first time. Be welcome. And all the others are also very welcome. I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I greet you with Psalm 122. May God be with all his people on all continents. Amen. What can happen better than that the Lord really is with us? Brothers and sisters, we said it already last night. We referred to it briefly, that we really arrived in the last period of the end time. And also the younger generation will of course also understand it, that everything what God announced through the prophets, and in this case, especially through the prophet Daniel, what he ordained for the end time and what he said through this prophet, how the fourth empire will trample down all the other nations and how everything will take its course and how it goes on then, step by step. And in our time, it is happening. You didn't notice it, but I witnessed the Third Reich. We were at school, and we had to go there where the SS was marching, stretching forth his hand, greeting the Führer. We had to watch it. We have seen everything. We experienced it. From July 43 up to December 45. I've heard it with my own ears how the Trinitarian, the Triune, seek Heil, seek Heil, seek Heil, was called out. These ears have heard it many times. Of the school, as boys, we had to go there to see all that and to hear all that. It was called the Third Reich. Why? You see, everything was broken down. And then came the Roman treaties. And then comes the Roman Empire. The Roman World Empire as the last world power. And then we read it. I noted down the scripture here. Daniel 7, verse 23. Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 8, verse 19. Daniel 8, verse 24. Daniel 9, verse 23. You can read all these scriptures. All of them. They concern the last period of time in which we arrived now, in which we are living now. Let me just emphasize, without that we spend much time with it, especially for us, whom God opened the spiritual eyes. Also about that, that now the uniting takes place, the religious uniting, the political, the economical, everything and again everything is being united. There's no other way anymore. It just has to be that way so that the scripture is being fulfilled in all points. Now just the last declarations from the prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verse 23, Daniel 9, verse 23, here we read, at the beginning of thy supplications, the word of God came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, give heed to the word and understand the revelation. This is the mighty thing. He who would like to understand the revelation properly must take heed to the written word. The written word must be revealed to him by his grace. Every revelation which is outside of the word does not agree with God and his word. God remains always in his word, and we always abide in his word. As the Savior said himself, if my words abide in you, and ye abide in me. Never we went beyond the word, but we always had reverence and respect before the word of God. And thanks be to God, we will keep this respect, this reverence we will keep until the end. Then comes the mighty verse in chapter 10, Daniel 10, verse 14, Daniel 10, 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision refers to the end time. And this end time is the time in which we arrived. Everything what God ordained for the world empires happens. What he ordained for Israel happens also. And what he ordained for the church is also taking place. Everything what God has said comes to fulfillment just as sure as he said it. And so that all know, especially all who somehow went out of the Word and who are preaching own interpretations, especially under the term thunder revelations. Let me say to this, let me read two places which are directly connected to it. We will not spend much time with it, but just that we read them. And then we know that God foretold all things beforehand, and that we take Old and New Testament. We have to connect the Old with the New Testament. Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 7. The end of the last verse.
Bis das Ende dieser wunderbaren Dinge eintritt. Und dann Vers 7.
All things shall be finished. Verse 7. No, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. It speaks of the people of Israel. When the scattering of thy people is finished, then all these things shall be fulfilled. Then the angel of the covenant will raise his hand to heaven and swearing. And when he swears, then it remains 3.5 years left until the direct end. In Revelation chapter 10, we have this oath in the New Testament, and it must be said very clearly here. The connection is here with Israel and not with the bride of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 10. Here we read in verse 7. Revelation 10. Let us read also verse 6. Revelation 10, verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be no delay, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he, the seventh trumpet angel, when he shall blow his trumpet, then the mystery of God is finished, as he has declared it to his servants, the prophets. And he who would like to know it precisely, just briefly, he just needs to read from Revelation 18 to know what is meant in Revelation 10. Brothers and sisters, here in this sermon, and I really recommend that this sermon is read by all. Here, Brother Branham goes into it. How Korah, how all those who took part in the Exodus, but then suddenly they didn't respect any longer what God ordained, but they were thinking, also they have a ministry, also they have to say something. They were separating themselves, and then they took others with them, and the whole thing was then not anymore the church of the living God, but a rot. And the leader said, "We will not come to thee." And you all know the story. Now, Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8. Verse 1, the silence in heaven, half an hour. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Not the seven stars, as the seven angels to the seven churches, but the seven angels which stand before the throne of God, to them were given seven trumpets. And then we have the first trumpet in verse 2, the second, it goes on and on. Verse 8 and verse 7, 8, 10, 14. And then the sixth trumpet in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded. And then we see what is happening. When the sixth angel sounds his trumpet. And then it's so important that all brothers should read it, what Brother Branham said, that what happens with Israel and after the rapture, everything happens from Revelation chapter 6, it was announced. And after the sixth angel sounded, look what happens here. Then comes the announcement. When the seventh will sound his trumpet, and in this connection, the angel of the covenant raises his hand for an oath. And in Daniel chapter 12, we have the precise description what then will happen. So, God revealed everything. Let us leave the things to the people of Israel, what God ordained for them. And we as the church, let us receive what God ordained for us. Here, Daniel 12, the last words from verse 6, Daniel 12, the last words from verse 6. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half of a time. We said it already, and we read it again. So, it's thus saith the Lord in his word. What do all these thunder brothers want? As Paul has written, they are not of a sound mind. They don't even know about it. Also those who are preaching that the throne of grace is already the throne of judgment. What would we do if there would be no grace anymore? Didn't we read it yesterday? Didn't we sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. If there would be no grace anymore, then God would not call anymore at all. But God still calls. He still speaks. And the Spirit of God is still at work. Brothers and sisters, the placing of the word of prophecy is just the most important which God has given to us in this time by His grace. And as we heard in the word of introduction, as we were reading it, everything is based upon revelation. But the revelation must be within the words of God and not outside of the word, within the word of God. No one knows who the Son is, but only the Father. And then we go to chapter 14. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? On one hand, it's a hidden revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, God manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. To some hidden and to the others revealed. And so we are grateful that we can come into the presence of God, entering the Holy of Holies, because the blood of the new covenant is still on the Ark of the Covenant. Once in a year, the high priest entered into it. And he has put the blood upon the ark. I wished I would have brought with me the picture. It's just so nice if one can look at it so nicely. On one hand, it's just a little box of wood, a wooden box. The measurements are exactly given. How big the Ark of the Covenant should be. And then the two cherubims at the end of the with their wings. To just protect the Holy of Holies as God ordained it. And here's the great mystery, brothers and sisters. Without the word of the covenant, it's just a simple wooden box. But with the word of God in it, it's the ark of the covenant of the Almighty God. Who are you? Who am I? We are nothing. We are just ordinary people who would have given something for us. But with the word of God in us, we are children of the living God, sons and daughters of God. It's just so mighty if one looks at the Old and of the New Testament, comparing it, seeing what God promised and what has happened. In Revelation, we have the greatest and the last admonition which the Lord God has given to us along our way. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. What will come upon all them who give their own comments, their own interpretation? As I mentioned it yesterday, things are being said you cannot imagine. All are going beyond what God has written and said in His Word. They're leaving the Word and they're ending up in their own interpretations. Let me say it here very clearly. If we look back, then all the churches had their time, and all the fellowships, they brought forth after their own kind, and all had their own seed, their own doctrine. And all who are part of a certain denomination believe what is being taught there, what is being preached and practiced there. And let us make the jump right to the turn of the century. About 100 years ago, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all continents, and again all brought forth after their own kind. They remained in their doctrines, in their convictions. They didn't accept any correction at all. And then Brother Branham comes and shows in the comparison that the rain has come, yes, but that the seed is important. The seed is important, which must be sown first. And then Brother Branham brings the very mighty comparison which Paul also gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He, com- he gave the comparison with Eve. Then he brings the comparison. There Eve, who listened to that, what the enemy said, sowing doubts, and the result was much trouble, much pain. I will give you in your pregnancy. Strange seed she received, and all of mankind was pulled into death. Adam and all of us. And then Mary, the virgin, who received the seed, the word of promise, believing it. And to her it was said, the Holy One born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Then Brother Branham makes the difference between all the churches and between the bride church and the bride church. And he just shows from the scripture, as Mary didn't have to do anything with a man, but as a virgin. Also about this, the scribes are scoffing, and they're writing publicly. They should not be called virgin, it should be called a young woman. Young woman is a young woman, but a virgin is a virgin. We are just grateful, with all our hearts, grateful. So, into the virgin bosom, the seed was laid, which was promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that it would come through the woman to bruise the head of the serpent and to give us the redemption by his grace. Now let us come directly to the matter. Dear brothers and sisters, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ not to mix the old with the new, but just that God makes something new in all of us, that his holy word is placed and planted into a pure heart before the latter rain finally will fall, so that the divine seed of the word, and let us say it openly and freely, in Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh, the Lord from eternity to eternity, he was in the blood was the divine life. And we as the redeemed church, by the blood of the Lamb, we received eternal life. By his grace, we have become sons and daughters of God. No mixing, no mixture, but the pure word seed was sown into us. And the new birth is not a mixture of old and new things. No, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. The old is past. Behold, all things have become new. The called out bride of the Lamb, and let me say to it, let me make the comparison with Revelation chapter 12. The church is called a woman.
Wenn heute das Wort Weib gebraucht wird,
Yeah, in German, there's another word for a woman, which is a bit has a bad reputation. But it's written in the German Bible like this. What do I want to say? As a woman receives the seed, and when the time comes, she bears what she received as the seed. So God wants to say, woman, woman, you have now received the divine seed into you, and that what shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here, it's called the male child. God summarizes the things. In the singular, he speaks of the church. The whole church is meant by it. He can also speak in the singular of the bride of the church. And altogether, it will be a multitude comprised of the Old and New Testament. Because according to Revelation 15, they are singing in glory the song of Moses, of the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And the 144,000 are hearing the song from heaven. And they learn it and sing and tune in. So, in Revelation 12, and Brother Branham emphasized it very clearly in questions and answers. It speaks of the seven stars. The New Testament church, at the beginning, she was crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And at the end, she's crowned with the same doctrine of the 12 apostles. And that's how we heard it last night in the sermon of Brother Branham. We were reading it. The end time message is back to the Word, back to the Bible, back to the beginning, back to that what was preached at the beginning. And here we have the example that the male child and the raptured church is not laid into a cradle the Lord went his way from his birth unto his ascension. But in the rapture, we will be in the perfect, in the stature of the perfect man. No babes anymore, which need milk, but the full stature in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't look unto yourself. Look unto the Lord, who has given the promise. And who will bring it to pass by his grace. So there is the calling out. There is the church. And there is the elect. The elect who are called out, who are separated, who are purified, who experience their preparation by his grace, taking it seriously. And as we mentioned already, Paul expressed it. He feared that the church, as Eve then, is also beguiled by the enemy. Please, only believe what God said in his word. reject every doctrine which is not found in the Bible. I have this rejection in me. I cannot stand it. And one day I used a word which I will not use today. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." What did Brother Branham do? Did he preach in his own name? Did he work his own work? What was it? He could say, as Paul, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy because of the divine commission which God connected with the proclamation. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Who receives only the divine seed, who does not commit spiritual fornication, which doesn't run here and there, listening here and there, but as we were reading, "Blessed are your ears, blessed are your eyes, for they see and hear what I have told you. The moment has come where we may only hear to that what the Spirit is saying to His bride from His Word. And it will be fulfilled at the end. At the end it will say, the Spirit and the bride will say, 'Come.' And he who hears it, let him say, 'Come.'" But Paul, led by the Spirit, he says in verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Your minds. Very important. God does not speak to our minds. God speaks to our hearts. And right now I'm writing about the subject election and predestination. But the election and predestination must be received. And it's being received by the elect and by the predestinated ones. And therefore Paul writes in the epistle to the Romans, Israel was elected. God had chosen Israel, Isaac, Jacob, all of them were chosen. And then came the Lord to his own, and his own, all who were chosen, all who were part of the chosen people, they didn't receive it. But all who were chosen and ordained before the foundation of the world, they believed, they accepted. And at the beginning, it was as it will be at the end. Only the elect part will reach the goal. Only the elect will not be deceived. And he who reads Matthew 24 will find out that our Lord said, right and wrong will be so close together. Here is Christ, there is Christ. And then it says, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But thanks be to God, it's not possible. The elect have the eternal destination, the eternal ordination to be with the Lord. They will not hearken to that what deceivers are presenting. I say it once again, officially, openly, publicly, one cannot even speak about the revelations which are presented. The people would really take their head in their hands and would ask, what is going on here? But I have to deal with those things which are happening worldwide, and time and again, I must put the word unto the lampstand as the absolute, regardless of what these so-called brothers are doing with me. I'm here to bear witness of the truth and for the truth. I'm here that I'm prepared together with you, and that we together will see the glory of God. And therefore, the message is carried unto the ends of the earth. For this reason, so that the last ones are being called out. And here it says, in verse 4, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, for if someone comes along and preaches unto you another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. This is a very hard statement. Ye might well bear with him. You are pleased with it. If somebody comes along, not being sent, but coming along, men of God have a commission. They have a sending. They have a commission. All the others, they are coming along. And many, many came along. And that's what they're thinking, they preached as a revelation. But the elect cannot be deceived, cannot be beguiled. But as Paul confessed, I betrothed you unto Christ. Is it not also already written in the Old Testament? I will betroth you. I will betroth me unto you in righteousness and in justice in eternity, for eternity. We didn't betroth you unto Brother Branham or unto Paul. No, we betrothed you unto Jesus Christ, out of whom we were taken out. Also this we said many times, as the Lord God opened the side of Adam, taking out Eve from him, and then bringing her unto him, and then he cried out, this is flesh of my flesh, She shall be called woman, for she was taken out from the man. So also Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, he is the second Adam, whose side was opened on the cross of Calvary, was opened. Then the blood was shed. From this shed blood, the church came into existence. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. And by this we became sons and daughters of God by his grace. Two different seeds. That's how we heard it. That's how we said, got it said in Matthew 13. And it was always like this, and it will remain like this to the end. First, the good seed is being sown, and then comes the enemy and sows his seed. And this we experienced in all of church history and also in our time, with the difference that what is happening in our time, it really hurts us the most. What happened before that, on false doctrines and so forth, this was not so painful for us. But that what is being presented now on the religious market is so painful. Once again, the emphasis. As Paul writes, if somebody comes along preaching unto you another Jesus, then you are very pleased with it. No, we are not pleased with it. We want that Jesus Christ is preached as the same, and we don't accept any interpretation, but remain settled in the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God has given to us by his grace. Let us summarize of what it's all about now. I've said it many times. It is the most important time in all of the history of mankind. The last period in which the last call goes forth and the last ones are being called out. As we mentioned yesterday already, from Luke 1, verse 16 and 17, by the ministry of John the Baptist, to the Lord was prepared a people. The hearts of the Old Testament fathers were turned to the children of the New Testament. A well-prepared people the Lord found, and therefore it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost what our Lord said and announced in Matthew 3 of John the Baptist, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, it took place, it happened, and thanks be to God that not only 120 who were gathered in unity there, but also the first 3,000 were added. They were prepared. They just needed to hear it. They needed to receive it. And then they experienced it personally. So also now, to the people, a bride is being presented. She is prepared under the proclamation of the Word of God. And always the blood of the Lamb is at work. Always the Word of God is at work. Always the Holy Spirit is at work in the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe, out of conviction, what Brother Branham, exactly 80 years, was told. In June he was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And if we then remember what happened 50 years ago, in March, it will be 50 years, the opening of the seven seals. And if I remember it, 6 weeks before that, I was together with Brother Branham. And to me he said, Brother Frank, preach in my state in Los Angeles. I have to pack the suitcases. I will move based upon a vision. I have to move to Tucson. I am the least among all. I hear the words. I am the only eyewitness who is still alive. When Brother Branham had a vision, when this would happen and when this should take place, he was shown when they widen the Ewing Lane, when they take your fence and when they lay the fence upon the grass, then the time has come for you that you should move to Arizona. These eyes have seen the fence lying on the grass. These eyes have seen, these ears have heard it. And God has given me the grace from the very beginning, having the direct connection. And also when Brother Branham told me in June 58, after I asked him in this conversation, before the meeting, I said, tell me, what's all about in your ministry? I see that your ministry is totally different than the ministry of all the other evangelists. Tell me, what is it all about? And then the short declaration, God has sent me with a message which I have to bring to the people. And at the end of the conversation, he said, Brother Frank, you will return to Germany with this message. The 11th of June, 1958. You all know it. I emigrated to Canada. I had just bought a house. I had a nice car, blue with a white roof. I was living as a king. Everything was really very good. And then you will return to Germany with this message. In June it was said, in September I was back. I left everything there. And I obeyed what God said through the mouth of Brother Branham. I returned. And then came the commission. Then came the waiting. And then came also the day where this message could be carried into all the world. God really took care for everything. And if I would mention the wonderful experiences, if I would write down the leadings of God, the leadings are just so wonderful. And all of you, you were called out, you found grace in the sight of God on the day of salvation. Really, at the end of the time of grace, hearing the last message, hearing the last call, it's only grace and again grace. Let us say it here. The bride of the Lamb will not make herself dirty. Revelation 12, the true church is being shown, crowned with 12 stars, out of which the male child is born. And then Revelation 17, the great whore, which sits at many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. You can read this chapter. And then up to chapter 18, verse 4. Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, brothers and sisters. This is a word of God. This is addressed to all of us. And he who is of God heareth the words of God. Please, let us receive it. Let us take 2 Corinthians 11 to heart. Let us not listen to Jannes and Jambres and Korah. Yes, Korah was of the tribe of Levi. And Levi was that tribe which God ordained to do the ministry. He was not someone. He was of the tribe of Levi. And so also today there are brothers who think of themselves to be something. No. We must respect the divine order. Just ask these brothers. Ask all the ministers of the word, ask about the joy which is in them, that they, according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47, can give out the same spiritual food, presenting the table of the Lord to the people without any mixing. As we read it in Revelation 1, what God showed to his servant John was ordained for all the servants of God. And so it is until today. In closing, I would like to read from Psalms 100. From Psalms 100, we were reading it recently. What is it? Psalms 137, I think. Yes, 137. Psalms 137. And then also Psalms 126. And let us really take it to heart as a comparison. Because also our fate, God turned. Psalms 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us milk, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then came the answer. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. All of us, wherever it was, all of us, we were sitting at the rivers of Babylon. But now, God brought us back. We may take the harps from the willows and on the holy ground of the word, on the foundation to which we were brought back, there we may sing the songs of our Lord to His glory. Psalms 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Then from verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, turn again. O Lord, as the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Möge auch das heute in unserer Mitte geschehen.
May it happen today in our midst, that God turns every fate which we cannot cope with. And here, young and old are included. How many young people are having trouble with their fate, coping with their fate? How many parents, how many older ones? Everywhere is trouble. Today, we want to have an experience with God. Today, all the faith which still exists, we want to bring to the Lord. And we just want to accept it by faith. That we are no longer in Babylon. We don't have to be silent there. No. We have returned. And with the returning, God turns our captivity, turns our faith. Just receive it. Already last night, it was on my heart to pray especially for all the youth. As a church, all of us, we belong together. That's how it is written. You and your house shall be saved. Many times, mothers and fathers are having their troubles with the fate of their sons and daughters. You all know what is happening and what can happen. Today, on the first Sunday of this year, we all want to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Our problems, where we just say, Lord, I don't understand it any longer. Why does it have to be this way? Let us really bring everything to the Lord. trusting him, knowing that he not only brought us back into the promised land, but he fulfills all the promises which he has given to us by his grace. Today, the power of the blood of the new covenant shall be manifested in our midst. Today, his word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish in the lost ones the salvation, in the sick the healing, in the captives the deliverance. Today, the word of God shall accomplish for what it was sent for. Today, all of us, the revelation of Jesus Christ shall be granted to us or shall be given us anew so that we just understand, because it is like this. God called us out. God separated us. Therefore, we are purified and sanctified. Therefore, we are prepared as the bride, ready for the return of the bridegroom. Therefore, we don't receive any strange seed. Therefore, we don't believe any strange doctrine. Therefore, we abide in the Word, and the Word abides in us. Therefore, we take heed to Revelation 22. And we do not add anything to the holy words of the prophecy of this book. And therefore, we don't take away anything from it. We leave everything there where it is written and how it is written. And we are thanking the Lord that He has given us the grace to understand Him, to receive Him in His speaking, getting revealed what He is doing in our time.
Möge mit uns alle Enden der Erde.
May all the ends of the earth be blessed together with us, according to the first promise which God has given. In thee shall be blessed all kindreds of the earth. God has led it in such a way that we have become a part of that what He is doing right now. And I believe that you have no doubts, that you just know in perfect faith these are the promises, and that's how we believe it. And by this we get the word revealed. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and the glory and the adoration. Today I wished that the choir sings again a song, or maybe all of us together, that we're just happy on our inside. Please, don't look on me. I just have pain in me. I have pain in me of things which are happening around me. But I'm grateful with all my heart for you, for all of you who abide in the grace, who abide in the Word, and who are experiencing the preparation also today under the proclamation of the Word. And this preparation happens through the total agreement with the Word of God, which is being preached, where there's no opposition anymore, no own way anymore, no own will anymore, where we can just say with all our hearts, not my will, but thy will be done. And then the wonderful statement of our beloved Savior. The question was asked, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? The answer, all who are doing the will of my Heavenly Father, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. Brothers and sisters, we are the divine generation, born again unto a new hope. And only the seed of the word is being laid into our hearts. And the word will accomplish for what it was sent for. To him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up. And as so often, perhaps the choir will sing. I don't know whether the choir leader is listening. It would be nice. In the meantime, we are bowing our heads. Please be grateful. Get grateful for that, for what God has done for all of us. Grateful that we have the word of prophecy by His grace, that we can place it in such a way that it really, in all of the summary, it remains in a divine harmony. That we can place everything. That what is happening with Israel, that is what is happening in the world with the nations, and that what is happening among the bride, that we can just place everything in a biblical way, having an inner agreement that we can say, Dear Lord, you have spoken to us. Now we will thank you together. Now we're hearing a song for the glory of God. This we say all, Amen. You can sing us another song if you have one. But let me say the following here. The song fits 100% to that what we read in Psalms 126. Right at the beginning it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. This was one thing. This God did already. And in verse 4 comes then the personal prayer, the personal desire. Turn again our captivity, our fate. We are not satisfied that God turned the captivity of Zion. We want that He turns our fate, that everything is happening according to His will. Amen. Thank you very much. To this just Psalms 125. They that trust the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We are not trusting a man. We trust the God of heaven, the Almighty God. And we are grateful that as he abides for eternity, we abide also. We abide with him because we trust in him. Then Hebrews 11, also the first verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things the Lord promised. I'm asking that all who would like to come to the front that we make their burden our burden, that we really stand in for one another, that we are here for one another. Let us sing Only Believe, and he who would like to come to the front, he can do it. Our Lord says today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. Please receive it today. Receive it from the hand of the Lord, knowing that his word has spoken to each one personally, and his word accomplishes now, and his blood accomplishes in those who believe him, who are coming to him, for what the blood was shed for, so that I draw all children of God unto me when I am exalted from the earth. Our Lord gave his blood and life for us, and we dedicated our lives to him. Now, especially all the young people, all who arrived in phases of decisions, and we all know how deceptive this time has come in the world. All who didn't go to the cinema yet, today, they have plenty of cinema and theater in their homes. Loosen yourself from it. Loosen yourself from it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't nourish your thoughts with the things of this world. Loosen yourself of the things of this world and consecrate yourself unto the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord God ordained this first Sunday of this year so that all of us can rededicate our lives to him, believing anew, having an inner agreement to everything, whatever he said through his word to us, that we really recognize the day and the message and the gracious visitation of God, and that we, the day of salvation, everything what God has given to us, everything we could receive by grace. This is your day. Please look here to the front. This is your day, your day. This is our day. And each one can say of himself, this is my day. This is the day which the Lord has made for me. Today he turns my fate. Today he intervenes into my life. From today on, it will become different. Not by making good intentions. No, by a vow which you make to the Lord, saying, Lord, be with me. I am ready. I'm ready to walk in my life together with you. I say it once again. In every way, we are living in a very deceptive time, in politics, in religion, in all things. I made the experience. You can go somewhere into the bush where there's no TV, but mobile phone, all have. Some have even two. And some have programs on their mobile phones which are not even shown on TV. The enemy really managed in all kinds of ways to take all mankind into condemnation in this way or that way. Please, recognize today, that what we read, That what we read today, that what the singers were emphasizing, the Lord turns not only the fate of Zion, He turns your fate, my fate, our fate. Receive it today. Now we will pray together. Bring to the Lord what is upon your heart, and He will answer us, and He will bring it to pass. Do you believe that He will turn everything what gives you trouble, which you cannot cope with? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us sing it before we pray. Sing it with all your heart. Dear Lord, You are our Savior, not a man. You have called, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. I will heal you, save you, deliver you, and bless you. Everything what I prepared for you, this I want to give you today. This I want to give you today. Precious Lord, bless all, save all the lost. Heal all the sick, deliver all the captives. Dear Lord, by faith, we receive it, that you turned our fate, also the fate of the church, of the bride. That today is the day which you have made. Great God, we receive it. We receive it in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name, we receive it. Brothers and sisters, whoever came to the Lord, He didn't cast out anyone. No leper, no blind one, no cripple, no one He sent away. He healed all. So that the word from the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled from Isaiah 35. Also today, doesn't matter what we have, who we are, we are coming to Him, and no one walks away the way He came. Today, we experienced the grace of God, full redemption, full deliverance, full healing. Believe it. God turned our fate today. We can take the harps from the willows. We are no longer on strange ground, no longer in Babylon or in Babylonian captivity. We have been called out by the power of God. And on the holy ground of the word and of the promises we may stand. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And today we experienced it. I ask that Brother Schmidt comes and that he once again thanks the Lord for what happened today. Great God, you the only mighty God, the omnipresent God, you are fulfilling everything. Lord Jesus, we thank you, O God, that you revealed yourself in simplicity here on this earth. You became like us, one of us, Lord of heaven and earth. You let each one come to you, and all who came to you, they didn't return void, but to all who were praying to you, you answered them, and you healed them all, you purified them, you delivered them, you made them seeing. O God, also we are coming to you in this hour, and we say thank you that you are still the same. You are going from heart to heart. Lord, we thank you that we can look up to you in full confidence, knowing you turned the fate, as your word says. Lord, give us grace to walk in your will for the glory of your name. Amen. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Let us. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord God bless you all. May he be with you. We give you greetings into all the countries of Africa, into all the countries of Europe. We are just giving greetings. And we are also greeting all who are connected online, that the Lord God may bless from the riches of his grace. Brother Schmidt wants to give greetings to Grodno. Yes, everywhere, where the people of God are gathered, there may the Lord be present. Did you understand it? That we have been called out? That we must remain pure, virgin-like before God? Remember the comparison, the parable with the virgins. The virgins who were ready at the return of the bridegroom, they will go in to the marriage supper. No mixing anymore with some kind of doctrines. No, sanctified in the word of truth, being ready waiting for the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. Remember me. Originally, I wanted, and I will do it, on Tuesday, very early in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I have to start my journey to India. I don't want to miss the visa, to let it expire. I just want to make use of it. And I start right in the south, in Chennai, and then I will end up in the north, in New Delhi. Remember me in your prayers. You can hardly imagine what this means for the believers there. If one returns after a couple of years, once again preaching the word, and the true believers strengthening the believers there. I said it before, Moses started with the age of 80, and I will end with the age of 80. The Lord willing. The Lord willing, we will continue until He comes. Until He comes. And we can say, Maranatha, with all our hearts. Maranatha, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Greet one another, wishing one another God's blessing. Be joined with the Lord and with one another. Thank you from Switzerland. Today, a large number from Switzerland have come, from all the neighboring countries. May the Lord God bless beyond measure. Who says the last chorus, which we can sing? Closer to home, closer to home. Amen. And all the people say, Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you until the next time.